Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Zone Time, everybody. I'm Julian. Arun Srinivasan is here, tapping in for Avery, who at the time of this recording is probably getting ready to be on the red carpet for the Hockey Hall of Fame ceremony, which is on a Monday. So that will have already happened by the time you get to this. Omar and Sam are also here. We need to deal with a very weird elephant in the room, people. For those watching on video, Omar is wearing a Boston Bruins shirt. That is not like our friend Omar. It's very, very weird. Yeah. Omar, why are you wearing a Bruins shirt?
Before I get into this, I just want to let everyone know that I am in so much pain right now watching, like, through the Zoom thing. I can see myself and I can see that I am wearing this shirt. And I'm in so much pain, you know,
my eyes,
Leafs fans and stuff. You know, the Habs and Bruins have had a lot of rivalries, and, you know, Sam, you know,
Sam's gonna suffer enough today. Don't do that.
But the reason why I am wearing this is because so recently I've been fundraising for Easter Seals, an organization that helps kids with physical disabilities. And I had my own page on Steve Dangle's team, and I said, hey, if I was able to reach my goal, I will wear a Boston Bruins shirt for every video appearance that I am on over the last week. So I was able to hit my goal. That was awesome. I think overall, over $500,000 was reached for Easter Seals, which is great. It's a fantastic amount of money. So a lot of kids are going to be helped, which is awesome. And I've been wearing this Boston shirt. I wore it on Game Over with Sam. That was cool. I wore it during In the Mention. So when you see that, and I'm talking about the Leafs in a Boston Bruins jersey, yeah. And now for the final appearance on Zone Time. So it's definitely, it sucks because I don't like Boston considering all the things that happened, but, you know, it's for a good cause, and I'm glad that, you know, it's able to help Easter Seals. So that's awesome.
So were you in the charity game that happened afterward with, like, Eric Lindros and James Myrtle and Dangle and all them boys?
I wasn't there. I was there last year, but I didn't end up going this year.
Oh, that's a shame. I mean, it looked like Dangle's team won in the end. They got the opportunity to play with Eric Lindros.
Yeah, who is huge in person. Like,
yes.
Like you think about NHL players, but the first time I saw it, because I went last year, and it's just like, you're just looking up at him. So it's great. It's an amazing tournament, and it's for an amazing cause. So it was awesome.
Absolutely. So it is worth it, even though you are unfortunately suffering wearing the Boston Bruins shirt. You did mention the crossover show you had with Sam on the SDPN. How did that go? I tuned in for that. That was really fun.
That was really fun. Thanks for jumping on, Omar.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, it was a nice little blend of crossover, like a lot of fun and jokes, and, like, you know, Sam just talking about the Canucks, which she loves to do, and
yes, I love talking about the Canucks.
So you know when, like, something happens and then people try and then people describe it in different ways, because we all see things in different lenses, right? So, like, if you, like, scrape your arm, like, to one person it can just be like a small little scrape, but for other people it can be like a full-on, like, your forearm is gone or whatever. So this entire time, every time on Zone Time, you know, Sam talks about how bad the Canucks are and stuff, and I hadn't watched a full Canucks game in the longest time, but my goodness, are the Canucks bad. Like, holy, like, one thing I noticed, and we talked about this in the recording, is that the Leafs have been really struggling trying to generate scoring at 5-on-5 because they've been figured out. Like, people know what they do in the offensive zone. Like, they clog up the middle, they cover Matthews as much as possible, so they stop those cross-ice passes, so it's really difficult to score. And that's why for Matthews specifically, he's only been able to get a lot of goals right now and on the power play. So I'm watching the Canucks just give Matthews so much space. Like, he had like a full diamond of room. He had like three grade A chances like in a row. He could easily could have had a hat trick if it wasn't for Martin. And then like in the third period, like Kerfoot and Tavares are like playing hot potato and no one's covering him. So I'm watching this and I'm like, oh my God, Sam was right. They're brutal, man. Like, they're bad. Like, they are bad. Like, yeah, they can score goals, but my God. Like, even, like, the former Leafs curse thing didn't even apply. I didn't notice Ilya Mikheyev once. He's on the top line. How much does he make? Like, four? Four and a half? I didn't notice him once. Oh my God. Yeah, man. They panned to Jeremy Rutherford after, like, the second goal. Man.
Jim Rutherford, not Jeremy Rutherford. Jeremy Rutherford is my colleague in St. Louis. I don't want him to get fired. I don't want to get disciplined anyway. I can't speak for Jim.
But my God, man.
I still think the funniest thing about that game, though, is I don't know why it stands out to me so much. Like, I know Matthews got a lot of space, but I will never forget Pierre Engvall just having so much space before his goal that he's standing there tapping his stick on the ice. I was like, what is happening here?
And then Jordy Benn scored. When I saw Jordy Benn in the lineup, I was like, "We're screwed, we lost. That's it."
What's wrong with Jordy Benn? Former Canuck.
In front of the net, he scored. Former Canuck.
There's nothing wrong with Jordy Benn, but he's just like the definition. He's a definition of like replacement level player. Like, he's just an NHL player.
You did not bring Jordy Benn onto the lineup to score goals, and the man scored the game winner.
Jordy Benn would probably be a top four defenseman on the Canucks.
I mean, like, my takeaway from the game, too, is sort of what you guys are saying. It's like, I was looking from the Leafs' vantage point, and like, the Leafs played like a C-plus game at best and won. Like, I walked out, I'm not going to lie, after the Canucks took a 2-0 lead, like, I stormed out of my house to go to a friend's house to catch the rest of the game because I was pissed. They were gonna lose. And I needed some breathing space because I was like, it would just be an indictment on the Leafs to lose to a Canucks team that seemed so poorly organized. And yeah, like, it did seem evident they were just giving a ton of space to at least four to 5-on-5. Like, I guess that was like really noticeable. But yeah, like, I don't know. The sky isn't falling in Toronto anymore, that's for sure. It's not how it was 2 weeks ago. But I think had they lost to the Canucks, it'd be like, oh no, time to pull all the stops again or all the options on the table in Toronto. That would have been a bad loss. Yeah. But they didn't play particularly well and still got the win, still got a comeback win.
Yeah,
but like the Canucks, and I mean, it seems like according to the schedule, I won't get to see the Canucks in person until December 14th. And I hate to break it to everybody, I do not have a good feeling that Bruce Boudreau will still be coaching that team by December 14th.
It's a waste of a fire. It's a waste of a fire, and it makes no sense. And you just need to again ask yourself, what do you want to be as a team if you're actually like. The realm of trying to be good is gone. They're fourth last in the freaking league. You know what I saw this morning?
I saw
a clip of Connor Bedard. Looks pretty sick. Yeah. He has 42 points, I think, in like 18 games.
Yeah, stupid.
Tank. It's done. Like, forget it. Like, just give up. Give up. Stop trying to win. Keep Bruce. Ride the season out. Finish at the very least, if it's not Bedard, to Sam's point, Sam's bringing this up every time I made the same joke, you're guaranteed a good player. You're guaranteed like a franchise changing player. Stop it. If you're good, stop it. Arizona, I don't know what the heck you're doing. Chicago, I don't know what you're doing.
Please keep doing
who
it.
Else?
Please keep
who
winning.
Who else? Hold on. I saw the standings like recently. Who else?
The Canadians are in a wild card spot.
Why? What are you doing?
They're trusting you, their young players.
Seattle's in a playoff spot. Why? Why? I
feel like some of these things are gonna crash back down to earth, right? Like it's
someone will, it,
right? Like, you know, like the margins of some of the standings are like the difference of like a game or two.
That is so true. Yeah, it's very close in the Central. I'm just looking at it now. Like, oh my God.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. Like, I looked at the Central Division standings today, and it's like there's a chance that like the first place Jets will be in fifth by the end of the week. So like,
we'll get to those Jets later on in the show.
Yeah. But man, yeah. So back to the Canucks, just freaking commit. Like, you're firing Bruce for no reason. Again,
yeah. What's the point? What are you gonna do? Who are you gonna hire who's going to make a difference, right? Like, Boudreaux is one of the fastest to 600 wins in the league.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good coach. He has the right temper. Like, he's handling this as best as he can. Like, I actually can't wrap my head around someone continuing to have as much grace and like good humor as he has had, notwithstanding continuing to lose, notwithstanding having an absolutely like crap roster given to him, notwithstanding Jim Rutherford dragging him every public opportunity he gets, which I think is deeply unprofessional. Like, who wants to come work here?
It just seems like they're like but it just seems like they're looking for, like, within the fan base, they're just looking for a pitchfork. Like, people were like piling on like Kuzmenko, who I don't think is the problem either. Like, do you think that's just sort of it, where they're like, the frustrations are mounting so high that someone has to get the axe, or is there more to it than that? Because, like, we know what the Canucks are. They're not a very talented team.
I think there's like a very interesting dynamic here where there have been a lot of fans who for the last few years have been like, people who say this team is bad, people who say this team is not a contending team are just super negative. You guys are just downers. You're not real fans. Like, this is a good core. This is a good team. You just have to have patience for what Benning's built to like be put together, like for it to all come together. The pieces are there. They're going to contend. They'll be good. And I think that there's another sizable contingent of people who have been like, this team is not well constructed. This team is bad. They should have blown it all up and actually done a proper rebuild, not like accidentally drafted Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes, et cetera, et cetera. And so there's like a very interesting dynamic where I think the people who have said they're bad are now like, yeah, well, we told you they were bad. Like, this is not surprising. Like, who are you, like, what are you going to do at this point? You fired the GM last year. You have a new president, you have a new GM, you have a new coach. Problems are still the same. Like, you went and signed JT Miller despite Rutherford saying this is not a well-built team. Like, none of the moves actually make any sense. So, like, what's at this point, I think for that contingent of fans, until you get a clearly communicated plan, it doesn't really matter what you do. Like, do whatever. We're just going to live the same 8 years over and over again. But I think for the people who thought they were really good and it was all going to come together and like things were getting better, I think they're going through that period of like realization where you're like really upset and really angry.
It's like the stages of grief.
Yeah. And so I think for those people, they're like, yeah, fire this person, fire that person. Cause they haven't gotten to the point of like, oh wait, shit, we've already done all of this before.
Yeah.
And like literally last year, we were talking about the Vancouver Canucks, like looking to get rid of Travis Green. And then they hired Bruce. Like, this is not like, oh man, you know, they've been good for so long and this is them hitting the bottom of the floor. This
genuinely
happened last year.
Genuinely, people were like, well, Bruce Boudreaux took over the same roster and they went 107 point pace. It's like, yeah, it's a new coach bump. It happens to every team.
Also, you can manipulate pace to support your point at any time too, right?
Like, yeah.
Yeah. I wonder how much, like, in the room, they blame what's going on goaltending. I'm really curious because, like, Thatcher Demko's deal is like, what, he's making five over five or something like that. So, like, going into this year, they probably thought, okay, this is our guy. This is going to be our person who's going to lead us. And he hasn't been as good. And I really wonder if, like, management sitting in the office saying, well, you know what? If he had good goaltending, we would have been fine. And that is what is.
If they had good goaltending, they'd be what they were last year, which is a borderline team who would finish in 14 to 18.
Yeah. Demko
covered up a lot of their flaws by playing out of his mind last year. Markstrom did the same when he was here. The problem is not, I mean, the goaltending is a problem. He has not been good, but their problems run way deeper than that.
Yeah, they fell in love with some pieces, man. Like, they should have moved Miller when they had the chance.
Well, I wonder if there's any resentment for JT Miller. I want to know, you mentioned about any resentment or any ill feelings about Thatcher Demko. What about for JT Miller, the guy who just signed up for all that money and started off the year being on the ice for so many goals? And also in that Canadiens game, for whatever reason, had that puck in front of the net and decided to just give it away on a freebie to Kirby Dach.
I mean, he doesn't know what defense is. He's a guy that they thought was a 1C who doesn't play any defense.
He's
a winger.
No disrespect, but like, if people are gonna, I'm not trying to project how people are generally feeling in the Vancouver Canucks locker room, but if somebody has a bone to pick with Thatcher Demko, who has, as Sam has mentioned, has done his best to try to mask the issues with this team, it just the stats aren't there. I don't know if I'm getting mad at Thatcher Demko first. Like, God damn it, he did as much as he could to cover up this team. No wonder he's not playing as well now. He's tired. JT Miller, you have all that money now. What are you doing?
The problem with Miller is still a point per game player, right? Like he's on a point per game pace. The problem is I think he's got something like 11 or 12 goals against and 6 or 7 goals for. So it's like his defensive liabilities are outweighing him being a point per game player, which is a massive problem for a guy who's supposed to be a 1C. Like that was how they paid him.
Stay the course, lose. Get Bo Horvat as make him feel as good as possible so he continues scoring at the pace he's scoring at.
Oh, yeah,
get
right.
Get a hole at the deadline. You get another first round pick in a deep draft. And then you use this draft as a building point to move forward. Like they can't. I don't know. Like we're talking as if this is what they're going to do. But like they have to use this year as like a building point for the future. And they have to just cut your losses with this year. It's not going to happen. Just let it write it out. Okay, you have JT Miller signed for however long. I don't even know if a team would do that. Has that ever happened before? Has a team ever traded a player like who had a pending extension? I don't recall that ever happening.
I can't. That did exactly. A name, yeah. It doesn't. Off, yeah. I can't they think
have,
of a name like, off. The
they
top
have
of my
to
head.
Move him this year, or they're screwed.
Man, I don't know. Cause like what it goes up to 8, until when
8 million 7 years. Ooh,
man, when it goes off the
cap, the Canucks gonna have to retain salary on that.
Ah, maybe
they might have to.
Holy, yeah. What's the nature of this? Wow, 1-2, so a full no move in the first 4 years.
Oof.
Oh yeah, they're in trouble, man.
Damn, you signed all that money, and then you have to be like, hey, JT, you want to waive that NMC for us?
Holy.
I'm old enough to remember a former Canucks front office guy telling Canucks fans that they had just signed their best player to 7 by 8 million, and they should, I think the quote was, relax and enjoy.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh. That's bad.
That's the only thing you can do.
Oh no. One other thing I want to mention before we move off the Vancouver Canucks. Sam took to Twitter on Sunday to ask a very, very important question. So apparently on December 1st, 2021, so last year, the Canucks had 7 wins. As of this recording, they have 4 wins to their tally. She wants to know, how many games they will win? Will they match the number of wins they've had on December 1st? She put out this poll asking, how many wins do you think they'll have? Could it be 5 wins, 6 wins, 7 wins, or 8 wins? My vote is 6. I think they'll have 6 wins on December 1st. I see them winning 2 of their next, I think, 7 games before December 1st.
Hold on. Yeah.
Who are they going to beat?
I need to look at the schedule first before I make
so
it.
So it's Buffalo, LA, yeah.
No, not
Vegas, Colorado,
3,
okay. Vegas,
4,
San Jose, Washington.
Yeah, it's 5 losses. That's straight up 5 losses.
Straight up.
At least.
Straight up. Kings, loss. Vegas, loss. Colorado, loss. Vegas again, loss. Washington. You might get like a shootout win there. Who knows? But like, even like Buffalo like isn't horrible. They're not like as great as they were before, but they're not like horrible. They can still like win a game if they can. In San Jose, you know, Eric Carlson's freaking snapped, but like, yeah, that's
San Jose's bad too.
San Jose is their best chance at a win.
Yeah. Oh man.
Actually, I have a question. Actually, I feel like I know it's very early, but that San Jose game. Shouldn't Canucks fans root for San Jose to win that game? Because you mentioned all these teams that are not doing well in the Connor Bedard sweepstakes. You know who also happens to be in that The San Jose Sharks do.
Sharks are
and
bad.
I don't know how Canucks fans feel. Actually, you know what? I saw a few of them respond to me today. You know, if there's one thing that's going to be worse than the Canucks enduring a season they've endured, it's a division rival winning out on Connor Bedard and having to deal with him for the next how many years?
I'm okay with that.
I think the Canucks should root for the Sharks in that game.
I don't want Bedard in the East. I don't care where he goes. I don't want him in the East. If he goes to Ottawa, I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Connor Bedard in Ottawa. Dude, Connor Bedard on an Ottawa Senators team owned by Ryan Reynolds. The Senators would be the coolest team in the National Hockey League.
That's impossible. Like, that sentence doesn't even register. Ottawa Senators.
Do you know how brutal that would also be, though? Because Ryan Reynolds is from Vancouver.
Yes, he is.
And so is Connor Bedard. The Canucks were Connor Bedard's favorite team growing up. Tyler Motte is his favorite player. There would be so many salty Canucks fans in that situation, too.
How much of that Motte quote is pandering, though, for real? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's the right guy for, like, hockey guys will eat that quote up. But, like, how much of that is actually true?
Well, because he said he grew up in, like, Reynolds grew up in, like, Vanier or whatever. Like, okay, he wants his damn team. Absolutely. Hell yeah, his team. But, like, he wants to own the team. I get it.
Oh my God. If
you had all that money in your room and you were trying to buy the Buffalo Bills, you'd do everything you can to say you're at Orchard Park.
If I had, several billions of dollars and tried to buy the Bills, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I don't think I would try to buy the Bills.
What would you do with Bill? If you were a billionaire, Arun, what would you do? Would you buy a sports team?
I would buy Twitter. No, I'm kidding. No, I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know, man. But like, I just balked at the idea of the Ottawa Senators being considered cool. Like, you know, like, not to speak ill of the dead, but there was nothing cool about Eugene Melnyk, and there never will be with that franchise. So,
Well, all right. What I guess we're going to dismiss that.
If I was a billionaire, I could not own the Leafs. I'm too emotional for that.
I don't know how
I would love that, Omar. I would love that.
Owning the Leafs.
I couldn't do it.
Rather you than like a nameless, faceless corporation, my friend. I would gladly.
I know myself, and I couldn't do it. I could not do it. If they, for example, they lose that great game to Vancouver, I'd walk, like, owner, I would walk down to the room and be like,
I love it.
Like, it would just be like the sensor beeps, like over and over again. I paid you this. We can't get out of the freaking first round, and you're losing to Vancouver. I just have a screenshot of the defense. You see this defense? We lost to this. Are you kidding me?
I love it.
I just picture
George Steinbrenner in the 70s. I love it. Like, good vibe.
I could not do it.
I just see Obar going down to the room yelling at everyone, and then he takes Wayne Simmonds aside and gives him a talking to in patois. That's how it has to go. That's how it has to go.
He just some rice and peas afterwards. Just like,
Wayne, go on out of the room over here.
Go on now.
Don't make me put you upon we of us. That's how it has to go. Did everyone else answer that question Sam? How many wins the Canucks are going to have? I said 6. Do we have formal response?
I'll say 7. 7. I'm going to say they're going to tie at 7.
So they're going to match it. You're optimistic.
Man, well, just reading on the schedule too.
Three
right?
wins!
Like, not that you guys were wrong by going opponent by opponent, but you know, there's like sort of this any given Sunday mentality in the NHL too. There's going to be some random variation. The Canucks get a win somewhere. So I'll say lucky number 7. 7. Why not?
Okay.
Are you saying Omar? 6-2, Omar?
Sorry?
Are you also saying 6?
So the question is, how many games are going to lose or how many games are going to win?
How many wins will they have on December 1st?
And right now they have 4?
Yeah.
Right now they have
6.
4.
Yeah, 6. 2. Okay. 2 wins. Maybe they get 2.
I had a lot of people mad at me that I didn't give 4 as an option.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, I don't know. There's only 4 polling options too, but like, why would you suggest more? I don't know.
You suggest less? Well, I mean,
that's hilarious.
I guess. Oh, man. We'll just have to wait and see.
I have to assume they're going to win 1 out of 7 games.
Yeah, there's no way they go, like, winless over the next 7.
Oh, 2 right. weeks later.
Listen. Don't get me wrong. I would like them to be at 4 wins. I think it would be deeply funny if they didn't win more than 10 games this entire season.
Washington Capitals level.
Yeah, 74. Washington Capitals.
They won. You're going to be bad. Be really good at being bad.
That team won.
There's no point
games,
being like
though.
Averagely bad.
I think though, Has the worst team in the cap era been Colorado that one year where they had like 49 points?
Yeah, either them or one iteration of the Sabres. Was it?
Yeah.
No, but wasn't there that season where Detroit won like
one iteration of the Sabres?
That's hilarious.
But like, wasn't that also wasn't that Detroit team during the shortened season?
Hold on, guys. Actually, wrote the bubble about this. I'm gonna look at this.
Go ahead, Arun.
Yeah, man. Like some of the teams have been like bad, but like I'm pretty sure Colorado might have been like the one of the worst like in a long
Detroit time. That year in 2020 had like they had the worst record that I remember for sure. They were really bad, and I know it wasn't a full 82 game season, but they were really bad. And you remember how that draft? You remember how that went for them after all that? They finished.
Oh, they dropped.
They dropped to four.
But they got their Bort Calder. Cider. But they got their Calder right. They got
was
their
it
Calder.
Bort Cider or Lucas Raymond that year?
That was Cider, I think.
So two answers to the question. Two answers to the question. It is either the 2016-17 Avalanche or the 2019-20 Red Wings. You guys were correct.
Okay. So it is those two teams.
Yeah.
Okay.
They should do another ESPN special on a different kind of rivalry.
Just futility? Like, I love that.
Futility. The Avalanche and Red Wings. Who was worse?
Just call it Haters Hour. I love it. All about it.
That actually should be an alternate segment for the show called maybe not Haters Hour, but maybe Haters Minute, where like we just let one of y'all just hate on somebody or something. But we'll workshop that idea. Yes, we'll workshop that idea. I want to still have time for this Hockey Hall of Fame segment I have prepared for y'all. Cool. But we mentioned the Central Division of the Winnipeg Jets. That's a Canadian team we do not mention enough on this show. We mentioned the Canadians a lot.
Straight up, I didn't know they were good.
We mentioned the Leafs a lot. We mentioned the Canadians. We've mentioned the Senators at times. The Canucks, obviously. The Oilers. Calgary trying to get a little bit more love. Gang, gang. But the Winnipeg Jets. they, as of this recording, are atop the Central Division. They have the best record among Canadian teams, even though the Edmonton Oilers are very close. Omar, to your point too, I'm very surprised that they're as good as they are. Remember, before the season even began, they took the C off of Blake Wheeler. And they're good. They're a good team. I was actually talking with a member of the Jets over the weekend. They were saying, like that helped Blake Wheeler. It took so much pressure off of him. And a lot of guys responded well to that. I'm surprised.
You know, like the captaincy change itself wasn't like surprising. It was the way they went about it.
Well,
like, the Jets went about it. Like the captaincy changes happen all the time, but the Jets were very much made it clear that it was like a failure of leadership of some sorts, or he had lost the room in some way. As to them being surprising, like I kind of share Omar's opinion that like I didn't realize the Jets were good. I also don't necessarily buy the fact that they're going to be sustainably good. Like they're a pretty middling possession team with some good shooting luck right now, and they're riding the coattails of their all-world goalie Connor Hellebuck. Not only that, I think like I brought up earlier in the show, but like Colorado is on a four-game winning streak and very well catch them in like a game or two. Dallas, I think, is like tied or like on points or maybe like a point behind, if I recall correctly. Mm-hmm. So the Stars can catch them too. You know, the Wilder I think are only like a handful of points back within a few games. So like, are the Jets going to be in first sustainably for a long time? I don't think so. I definitely think Colorado's going to catch them and by the end of this week, and then how it plays off the rest of the season, I'm not sure. So like this idea of the Jets being good too, I think a lot of it stems from the idea you look at their roster and you're like, okay, they have Blake Wheeler, they have Kyle Connor, they have Pierre-Luc Dubois, they have some names, but they never really score consistently. Like Josh Morrissey is their leading scorer right now. So is this the year for the Jets? The equation hasn't necessarily changed. If they get a superhuman run from Connor Hellebuck, then yes. But otherwise, I don't see it.
Yeah, I think to Arun's point, they're kind of benefiting from a lot of teams, especially in the Western Division, having like a weird start. Like for a while, like Chicago and Arizona were like legitimately in like playoff spots, and like Colorado were losing games. St. Louis has had a weird start. Like
they've fallen off.
A completely weird start. Nashville was probably we'd expect them to be higher. So like I think it's a combination of all those things. And then again, to Arun's point is that in a week this can be completely different because of how close things are. Like one win, Colorado is in first. Like Minnesota's probably gonna go up there. You'd expect Nashville to turn it around a little bit. You'd expect maybe St. Louis has another Stanley Cup freaking run out of nowhere and ruins the league perspective and stuff. So it's like, yeah, I mean, I think when it comes down to why Winnipeg is so good, I think it's been why they've been good since well, since that Stanley Cup final, like after that, like, you know, before, during that time, they were a pretty decent, like, well-around team. Like, they were
their cup run, team. You mean, not cup final.
Sorry, yeah. Oh, yeah, the cup run. They
well, that the one was, where they lost to Vegas, been. And Vegas ended up going to the final.
Marc-Andre Fleury ruined the Winnipeg Jets.
You guys, I watched that game.
Make the documentary. That one player ruined it for them because they were cup bound, man. They were a nasty team that year.
They should have.
And then freaking Fleury said, nope, everything. Dude, save.
Game five, I flew to Vegas for 36 hours to watch that game. And it was glorious. It was like, it is one of the best games I've ever seen in person. And I like what I remember from it was I think the entire stadium stood for the entire third period. Like no one sat down. They like watched the game standing. It was crazy.
Mm-hmm. So like, yeah,
I gotta watch a game in Vegas.
So right now, man, like it's Hellebuck is keeping them alive, and you know, then they're getting their contributions when they're coming. But like as far as long term, like I don't know. I think once the teams who have had a shaky start kind of snap out of it a little bit, then it'll be difficult for them to kind of maintain what they've already established now.
Colorado's been playing without Nichushkin and Landeskog.
Yeah.
That too. Ask me around American Thanksgiving, because that seems to be a bit of an indicator on whether or not teams who are in playoff positions will make it again? Or not. I believe in, what, 2 weeks?
Next week,
actually.
Okay, we're in a playoff spot. I just checked the Atlantic Division just to make sure it's the least.
Oh man, well it's good to know that you very much are keeping track of that. All right, are you guys ready to participate in an exercise I've put together?
Yep.
Involving some names. So I had an idea to discuss in light of the Hockey Hall of Fame, the induction ceremony being on Monday. I wanted initially for everyone to name me a player who should be in the Hall of Fame. And I thought, oh, you know what? That's a lot of work. So instead, I've decided to compile some stats and some accolades for some players, but I'm not going to mention who those guys are. I'm just going to read off a bit of their resume, and you tell me if they should be in the Hockey Hall of Fame or not. Does that sound cool? Does that sound fun?
Oh, yeah. That's good.
That sounds good.
Cool.
Can we try to guess the player outright, Julian?
Sure. Okay. You could if you want.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Why not?
Okay.
All right. I'm just gonna go at random here with all the names that I have here. I have five different names.
Okay.
So this guy, two-time Vezina nominee, Olympic gold medalist. As far as I know, they've never made a Stanley Cup final. And the lone individual honor that they've won is a King Clancy Award, but he has over 450 career wins as a goalie.
I think I know
who currently not in the Hall of Fame.
I think I know who it is.
Okay.
I think it's Curtis Joseph and he should be in the Hall of Fame.
Okay, so you're saying it's Curtis Joseph and you're saying he should be in the Hall of Fame. Why would you say why would you say this person with this resume, whoever this person is, should be in the Hall of Fame?
I think he was one of the best goalies of an era where it was a golden age for goalies. You know, certainly maybe there is some Maple Leafs bias in there too a little bit, but he led the Leafs to the most prosperous era of my time growing up. He was really good. He had like he was a stellar goalie for like one of the best goalies in the league for 8 to 9 years. And I guess the resume part, because he was on the 2002 Olympic team, if memory serves, right?
Yes, he was.
And has never been to a Stanley Cup final, I think, hence the guess.
Nope.
For those reasons, I would say Curtis Joseph's in, but he should be one of those guys that gets in the hall like as like on the like the seniors committee, like in 25 years. Anyway, okay, that's my whole thing. Anyway,
Sam Omar, does this person still nameless for now? Should they be in the Hall of Fame or not?
I don't know. I think it sucks because there are some moments where like getting a Stanley Cup is like it's cool, and other times it's just like you've done so much, you can kind of let it slide. I don't know if I can answer that question without any bias, because like Cujo was sick. I don't know if I can answer that question like with, you know, without any bias. Like I think bias, I'd say yeah, that'd be cool. Like, but without bias, like I don't know. I think there are probably some goalies that might I guess get some notice or consideration before that.
I can think of a few.
All right. So I guess from that I'm kind of split down the middle.
Okay, Sam, I don't think you have I mean, I don't know if bias really matters here, but it seems to be in this case. King Clance, go ahead.
I would say, can you remind me of the stats again?
So 454 career wins as a goalie. I didn't mention the amount of games played, 943. Two-time Vezina nominee, Olympic gold medalist, never into a Stanley Cup final.
Oh, never been to a final.
Okay. Never been to a Stanley Cup final.
Okay. I have like 2 points to make here. I think I would be on the fence. I can kind of understand why they're not in yet. I can see the argument either way. Mm-hmm. But related to that, my biggest beef with the Hall of Fame is that they treat it like the NHL Hall of Fame, and it's not. It's the Hockey Hall of Fame.
That's right.
That is a very good point.
And it drives me insane that all of the stats are like, well, what did they do in the NHL? What awards did they win? It's like, that's not the point of the Hockey Hall of Fame. And that mentality is also why they only allow two women to be inducted every year.
That's very true. I was waiting on you to bring up that point. That's something that we mentioned the last time we talked about the Hockey Hall of Fame on this show. Where is the lie? I do not see any of them. So you seem to be on the fence with the mystery person.
I'm on the fence.
Okay.
I'm going to say no.
Okay. All right. So we have two yeses and one no. Yes, it is Curtis Joseph. For the next few ones, I will we'll get you to hold off on guessing until we go through all the stats first.
Sorry, my bad. Okay.
No, that's fine. That's fine. That's fine. This is cool. This was something that like literally came to mind like 15 minutes before we started recording. I probably could have thought about that a little bit better too. That's okay. How about
I like
this?
That he knew right away.
Oh, yeah. No. That's amazing that Arun knew. But also Arun is incredibly smart. So like that's great. How about this guy?
Sometimes.
1,184 career points in almost 1,500 NHL games. He's won the Stanley Cup once. He's only been an all-star once, but he's won the Selke Trophy twice.
Oh, I know this.
Don't guess who it is. Don't guess who it is.
Okay. This player should be in the hall, though, yes.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Just off of that.
So 1,100 points?
1,184 career points. Okay. 1,184 career points.
Sorry? Say that one more time?
1,184 career points.
And how many games?
In almost 1,500.
In 1,500 games.
In 1,484 career games. So under 1,500.
Man. Wait.
They won the Stanley Cup once.
Is that?
My vote is yes.
My vote is yes.
I think I know who it is. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Not only yes, but I can't believe he's not in.
Okay. Do you guys want to all guess all at once?
Yes.
No. I feel like you guys all know the name. On the count of three, people. One, two, three.
Rod Brindamore.
There we go. Rod Brindamore. You're very good. That's good. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he's not in.
That's wild, man.
It's crazy that he's not in.
How much fun would it be if the Hurricanes won the cup and then he gets inducted into the hall? So he's got like wins the cup in June and goes into the hall in November next year.
And then just like that'd be cool. Everyone like through the chest because he's jacked.
He can still play in the league.
Speaking of jacked, he has a Jack Adams.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah.
You know Omar, the giveaway on your hint was the two Selkies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
How about this next player? Yeah. 401 career wins as a goalie. He's won the cup three times, but he's only been an all-star once. But he's also one of a handful of goalies to have scored a goal.
Three cup wins.
One all-star. I believe it's 12 goalies have scored in the National Hockey League.
I know who this
but
is.
They have scored 400 wins.
No, he should not be in the Hall of Fame.
Why am I blanking so hard? Who is?
Okay, Sam.
This one I don't know who it is. So,
Sam, why do you think this person should not be in the Hall of Fame?
Because he played behind a team that would have won the cup regardless of who was in the net.
I know who it is. I know who it is.
You could have iced an like AHL goaltender and they would have won.
Yeah, yeah, no. Yeah, I agree.
Also because I'm an Avs fan. So
yeah, I agree.
You know, for me. There's some bias there. Yeah. There's some bias in your answer. Arun, do you know who this is?
I think I know who it is now. I would say no based off the resume, but also if the player is who I think it is, then it's a no.
Okay. So who's gonna guess it? Who's gonna just say the name?
I'm not Chris nearly Osgood. Sure to pursue.
Osgood.
I think it's
Chris Osgood.
Yeah.
It is Chris Osgood. There is a big debate over whether or not Chris Osgood, who yes, he won those cups with the Detroit Red Wings. It was a big part of them.
That's like me coaching Team Canada and saying, give me the Jack Adams.
No, that's not true.
Man, those teams were sick. Come on. Those that's teams
true.
Were sick.
That's true. That's true. That's true. I'm sorry. I'm hating. You behind the bench with Sidney Crosby and imagine like the 2010 like, team.
Yeah, yes, example. Sidney, go.
Like, just do something. Like,
what? Oh my gosh, man. Like those teams were freaking disgusting, man.
They were great. They were great. Yeah. I don't know. Chris Osgood, I mean, yeah, I'm on the fence with Chris Osgood.
It's the Hall of Fame. More so that it would... It's the Hall of Fame. Emphasis on fame. Where's the fame at?
I mean, not a lot of goalies wore cages like Chris Osgood. That's pretty famous, I guess.
I mean, yeah, of. But you know.
Yeah.
You Chris Terreri wore a cage. Hey, Dominic Gavin wore a cage.
Hey, and also he won Stanley Cups. Cool. That brings about notoriety and fame.
I
guess. Right?
I yeah. guess, man, but like,
I don't know. Are you going to give Antti Niemi? Are you going to put Antti Niemi in the right. Hall of Fame?
Hell no. He didn't win all those cups for Chicago. He only won one.
I keep forgetting he was on that team.
Antti Niemi was there for that first cup, that cup win in how many years for Chicago?
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, with one of the weirdest game-winning goals to that, but that's for another day. All right, how about this player?
Michael Layton, oh my God.
Yeah, that's true. That's
the worst goalie cup ever.
Before you, that's like one of the worst goalie battles ever. Antti Niemi
ever. Michael ever. It's the worst one ever.
Oh my God.
So bad. High-pitched screamed what at the TV when freaking they were celebrating. I was like, that went in? And they showed the replay. And I was like, no freaking way.
Man. Bro, I watched that one at Palladium. Cool. I was working at Palladium and I watched that one.
What is Palladium?
Palladium is like an adult. Well, no, it's awesome. Adult. It's an arc, basically a huge arcade. And I was working there at the time. So I watched the game on silent. Doing my shit.
I was in my mom's bed. I was in my parents' bedroom on their like tiny TV watching it. So bad. And I remember just thinking that was also the year of those like, those really cool NHL, those commercials they had in the playoffs where they would take a moment and they would replay, they would like rewind it. It's like, what if this player didn't do this? Moments, those are some of the best NHL moments. And just the music from the commercials in my head is like, wow, Patrick Kane might like do something cool here. And then he scored. And well, you know, that was when we thought of that championship in lighter times.
And now we know the truth. And
now we know the truth. Yeah. So anyway, let's move on to another player here. I have two other names. There's two really obvious things about, well, at least there's one obvious thing about this person that I'm going to withhold for now. But they only have one individual accolade. They won a Lady Byng Memorial Trophy in 2003. They only had 200 point seasons, which is very interesting to me. But they've been an All-Star six times. And they are a member of the Triple Gold Club, yet still not in the Hall of Fame.
How many goals?
All time?
Like in their career?
473.
Okay, so wait,
It's not him.
Well, Triple Gold Club, that's pretty freaking cool.
It is pretty cool, so right? That's
Olympic, World Championship, and a Stanley Cup?
Correct. They have won all three of those, but they are not in the Hockey Hall of Fame as of now. I don't know if I want to give y'all this hint because I feel like that just makes it super obvious or more obvious than it should. Or maybe it doesn't. I don't know.
What's the hint?
They scored 76 goals in a season.
Oh, that, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. There it is. There we go. There it is.
So, yes, it right. should be in the hall.
Yeah.
All right. Say the name, everybody.
It's Alex McGillney.
Alexander McGillney. Right. Former Leaf.
So sick. So cool.
Yeah.
I have such like a weird, weird connection.
Like the most
like,
obvious
early...
person who should be in the
I
hall.
Don't know why he's not. I don't it know makes how no he's sense. Not, man. It makes oh, no my sense. God. Freaking so sick.
I forget that McGillney won a cup. It doesn't come like top of mind, but he did. It's like, I think it's maybe because it was just so late towards the end of his career, but.
It's funny enough, year 2000 with the New Jersey Devils.
Yeah.
I think he scored 43 goals that regular season, like near the end of his career, but like he still, that was like what probably his last really good year.
Yeah.
And he gets himself a Stanley Cup to cap off winning being a member of the Triple Gold Club. All right. One last one for you guys. Hart Trophy winner. won the Lester B. Pearson Award, now known as the Ted Lindsay Award, Olympic gold medalist, 865 points in his lifetime, though. So he has not reached 1,000.
How many goals?
372.
He won the Hart and the Lester B. Pearson, but with 865 points.
So does this person's name start with a P?
No.
Oh, okay. Because I was like,
oh, were you thinking?
Like, because there's, because when from the initial plan of this, I had a person that, like, I think that may not have like a lot of points and stuff, but like, I think should get in at some point. We can talk about it afterwards. I don't know who this person is.
I guess this player's in the hall already. So it's not him.
This, yeah. So this person currently not in the hall. 865 career points.
And how actually, many games?
Actually, you know what? Yeah, 865 points.
Okay. And how many games?
In 760 games.
And no other, like, world championships, international players?
Hart Trophy, I think they have a gold medal. Did you think, just without trying to think of who this person is, do you think?
I'm trying to figure out, like, just based off so they just have an Olympic gold medal, and that's it?
Yeah, they won it in 2002.
You can sit.
So you don't feel this person should be.
Yeah. That's
so you're saying no. Sam, you're saying no. Arun, are you saying, what are you saying? Don't guess who this is.
A circumstantial no, based on like what are the circumstances that led to the end of their career. So I guess it's a no. I guess it's a no. No, you can't. Okay. You can't. So I guess it's a no for now with an asterisk.
Yeah. Okay. So I have to admit for this one, that one is a trick question because this person is already in the Hockey Hall of Fame. That is Eric Lindros.
Yeah, I figured because it had to be Lindros because I was like, this person's in the hall. It can't be it.
Okay.
It was a trick question.
Trick question. Yeah. Fair.
It was a trick question. So you guys all said, very interesting. Well, I mean, then again, you're right. I didn't mention the context of the injuries that led to them only playing so many games.
Yeah, man, that's like there's so many like you look at so many like careers of players, like even the careers that were sick, and it's just like frig, man. Like if you were just healthy, like holy, like the things you and like Eric Lindros is one of them, which is so unfortunate. Even think of like Mario Lemieux, man. Like Mario Lemieux already had a sick career, but like imagine if it was like full on, like fine. Sack and Koivu, another one as well. It's just like it's so unfortunate, but yeah.
What was the name of the player you were thinking of at first who you didn't want to reveal?
Oh,
your
me?
First guess. Yes.
Oh, okay. So I am well aware that this person may not have like all the accolades and stuff, but like I love freaking Pavel Datsyuk, man. What he did for the game, like he completely changed the game. Like when it comes to like skill, the Datsyukian Deke, he murdered Logan Couture. That freaking clip just like that always goes in my head. So like when it comes to like a person that may not have like the accolades and like the all the trophies and stuff, you know, did win a Stanley Cup, but like when it comes to this like raw influence in the game of hockey, like I hope he's someone that like not anytime soon, because obviously, you know, like there are other names you want to get to for sure, but like I hope at some point like what Pavel Datsyuk did to like the sport of hockey gets recognized, because like this magic, they called him the magic man for a reason, and he just did some disgusting stuff out there, just like, and just made it look easy. So
I see his influence on the game today too. You know, like it's not just like a guy from how many decades ago who you're like, man, I don't really remember him. You do like we literally Nick Suzuki pulled off like a Datsyukian goal the other week.
The Suzukis, right? The Marners, the Trevor Zegras, like that's Datsyukian stuff that they're doing, man.
Yeah, man, it's unreal. There's one other thing on Datsyuk too. I think no one has made the game, no one's made defensive responsibility look more fun than Pavel Datsyuk.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
and he's won more than one Selke trophy.
And that part's translated to the modern game too, right? Where like, yeah, like you see these young guys trying cool shit out for sure. But I think that part too, like the emphasis of playing defense style hockey, it's like, oh, that's Guy Carbonneau's role. Like, nah, like you can be a high end player and try cool stuff and be the best defensive forward in hockey. Yeah. So I think that's like an equal part of his legacy.
Triple Gold Club winner, 2-time Stanley Cup champion, 3-time Selke winner, 4-time Lady Bing. I mean, fine, he doesn't have 1,000 points, if I recall correctly, but
yeah, I don't
see any reason.
Yeah,
like 918 career points. I don't see any reason why Pavel Datsyuk shouldn't be in the Hockey Hall of Fame. Sam, are you willing to say something nice about a member of the Detroit Red Wings?
I think Datsyuk should be in the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Well, at least we got you to say that.
There you go. And also, wasn't Datsyuk, I think Datsyuk was like a seventh round pick or something?
Yeah.
He was like one of those late round picks from the Detroit Red Wings. Yes.
They like, objectively, he should be in the Hall.
Yeah.
Hmm, 171st actually, you know what? Overall.
See, I like playing this game, but I also don't because I feel like the Leafs are going to be involved in this. But I'm kind of curious.
What do you mean?
You ever play that game of who went before and who went after?
Oh, do you want to do? Okay,
that's a good I'm gonna look now and see who went before. I
swear. Okay,
don't do this yourself, Omar. It's a
bad. I know for a fact for Zetterberg. I know for a fact the Leafs had a pick before or after, and they drafted some goalie. I have no idea who they are.
You're just biting a world of pain, man. Don't do it.
So 1998 NHL entry draft, 171st overall, sixth round pick, Pavel Datsyuk. The Blues had a pick just before. The Devils had a pick after. Immediately, I don't see. Oh, okay. So the Leafs did have a pick in that round.
Okay, but it's not close. I feel better. I feel good. Woo!
He's not that close, but like.
Feel good. Okay.
I don't know.
The Zetterberg one is tough. I'm pretty sure like it was Zetterberg. Ooh. No, I'm pretty sure it was the Leafs and then Detroit, and then they got Zetterberg like right after. I was like, oh my God, Jesus.
The pain. Okay. Anyway. We can look before we cause Omar any more pain. We'll wrap up this week's edition of the podcast. Great job, everyone, on the Hall of Fame game. That's what we'll call it. You guys did very well, and good job on some of the other topics too. Arun, thank you for tapping in for Avery, who would have been fashionably late for this podcast anyway. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode, and keep us honest for December 1st. We will track how many wins the Vancouver Canucks will get between now. And then, Sam, I'm sorry.
You don't have to count very high.
Hopefully, well, maybe they prove us wrong. Maybe they go on a
set. I don't want to be wrong. Imagine they go undefeated. I want Connor Bedard.
That's true.
Holy, that'd be so funny. They win every single game.
Oh, my God.
Holy.
That's where Joe keeps his job.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if I think I said this in the group chat. My new favorite term is a tank awareness. I love that term. So if they lose all those games, that's high tank awareness. But if they win those games, low tank awareness. I love that. I love that term.
We will find a way to properly quantify tank awareness and use it as the latest advanced metric to to look at teams who should be tanking. Mm. For Arun, Omar, and Sam, I'm Julian Singh. So long. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.